Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
Hi.
Yeah, we're back. It's been almost 2 months.
Yeah, it has been almost 2 months of complete and utter fucking craziness.
And we should mention that was really not our plan. We actually did record in February. And then my entire audio file, I honestly don't know what happened to it, but it was no more. So
is it recording now?
It is. It's recording. Everything looks good. I mean, it's the first time that's happened in 160 episodes, but we got off the phone and I saved it and that was that. It was empty.
It was empty. Yeah.
So it was a quiet February on that end, but not in any other capacity.
No. So we should first mention that we are actively working on a whole bunch of changes to the podcast in the sense of ramping it up again and starting some new features, and we're really excited about it. We have a lot of momentum. I think the impetus comes from the craziness of the last 2 months, especially.
Yes.
And yes. So stay tuned. We'll mention some of that later in the episode. But we sort of wanted this episode to be so MRS, Manic Rambling Spiral into a Not Good Space.
Right. I always forget that full quote.
Manic Rambling Spiral turns 4 on the 17th of March on St. Patrick's Day. 4 years.
I still don't know how. Like it doesn't seem that long ago.
Mm-mm. No, and so much has changed since then.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If you remember episode 2.
Sometimes I'll meet people and just in talking, you know, the podcast will come up and they'll say, well, I'll go back and listen. I'm like, okay, but let's pause for a second because that episode is not indicative of my life now 4 years later.
Right.
It's changed so significantly that it always feels weird to know that someone's going to go back and listen to that because it seems like a totally different life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, my God, I was entrenched. Like, I was entrenched in my suicidal ideation.
Right. That was before your treatment. That was long before the Chicago Marathon. It was like a year and a half.
That was before the Boston Marathon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only, it was like less than a year after my entire life fell apart.
Right.
So it was a very different time.
It was a very different time. Both of our children were 12.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
And Lita turned 16 on the 3rd of February. Lexton will turn 16 on
March 26th. So he's about two weeks out from that.
Yeah. So we have children who will be approaching cars.
God, I fucking hope so. He still has no interest.
Really?
Not at all. And I don't, honestly, it's reached a point where I don't actually care if he drives. But I want him to know how to drive and to have a license. I had friends who just weren't interested in it. That's okay. But it would be tremendously helpful if he at least knew how.
Lita so desperately wants her license and is actively working toward it. You have to have a certain number of hours behind the wheel.
Right.
And I won't do it. I won't do it.
So does she go out with Pete or who's she?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll mention this really quickly. I went to London for a week. I guess this leads into our relationships now with my John and your Heather.
Yes.
Where they've come in 4 years. And not only did John come out for Alita's birthday, we sat, I rented her a room for her birthday at a local hotel so that she and her friends could swim and have a suite and, you know, spend the night and have fun. And Pete and I stayed in another part of the hotel, but the day of them of us checking in, you know, Marlo had a friend and they all swam and John came and sat at a table with us and we had French fries and tater tots and sat there for 5 hours talking and laughing. And it was remarkable. It was absolutely remarkable.
And if I had told you 4 years ago that that was going to be the scene, you would have laughed until you choked.
Until I choked to death.
I mean,
yeah.
Really, like that was not even close to possible 4 years ago.
No, that was not close. That we, no. I mean, but I'm sure people have figured out that my divorce was extraordinarily difficult.
Was it?
Difficult.
Do you think people have put two and two together?
Difficult, the right word? What would you say? It was very traumatic.
Traumatic, let's put it that long, way. Difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. And he and I, something happened last year. I'm gonna credit a certain phone call. I'm not going to get into the details of the phone call, but I'm going to credit a certain phone call. And something happened, and he, within 2 days of that phone call, he was in Utah. Damn. Asking how he could help. Ever since then, like, he stayed in my house during my book tour. He stayed in my house a couple times since then. He came to lead us. We it snowed at our house almost 20 inches at our house the day of Lita's birthday. And it's the second time in the, how long have I been here? 16 years? 17 years. It's the second time in 17 years that they closed schools. And she was devastated.
Wait, so that was on her, I feel like the other time was during the life of this podcast.
Yeah. And yes, it was.
That's weird. Yeah. It was like a year or two ago because I remember that you were saying it was the first time it had happened since you'd been back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was devastated because she had straightened her hair and she'd picked out an outfit and she wanted to go spend the day with her friends. And I was like, but you don't have to go to school on your birthday. And she was really sad. And somehow, John made it to the house later that night. We cobbled together food because no one, they could not get the streets plowed because the snow was coming down so hard. Like, in Salt Lake is very, very good at getting the streets plowed.
Right.
And John made it over to the house and was at our house for like 5 hours and we sat around the table and laughed and it was phenomenal. And I can't thank him enough for working with me and for being open to this kind of relationship so that our kids can benefit from it.
Exactly.
And I honestly, like, if anybody can get here, like if I can get here, I feel like there's hope for almost, I mean, I know that there are certain circumstances which prohibit you from becoming friends with your ex, but there is hope for a lot of us in my story because he and I sat around and laughed and poked fun at each other and didn't take it like personally. And we, you know, we just laughed. I think I wrote about this on my website. Like, it was really nice to be with the person whose DNA was in my child. And I could say, she does this. And he's like, I know. And he's like, well, she does this. And I'm like, I know. So 4 years later, 4 years, and John and I text routinely. We'll talk on the phone. We work together financially in terms of the kids. Like, if they need anything, like, he'll immediately Venmo me money. Like, it's, I can't believe it. And I'm so grateful. I do not take this for granted at all. And yeah. I know I'm lucky.
Yeah. And I feel the same. I mean, as a lot of people probably remember, the end of my relationship was also less than stellar.
Less than stellar
and started with a couple months in my Heather's parents' basement eating boxes of Wheat Thins. It was a thing.
Wheat Thins. That should be it. We should sponsored by Wheat Thins.
They will get you through just about anything. And at the time it was, I mean, it's different, right? And we talked about this really early on in the podcast. Like, in your situation, you were the one who made the decision to end the relationship. And in my situation, I was not. So we also were both coming at it from very different angles. So for me, a big part of it was getting over my own bitterness and anger just with the whole situation. But then it was also Heather figuring out that there was an actual way to move on without things being awful.
And has she?
So I think she has. It's weird. I mean, like, you're saying that you and John text regularly and talk regularly, and Heather and I do as well, to the point where we have been texting for a long time, but it would always be very, very, very Lexton specific. Like, what time are you picking him up? We need to do this. And it's still, I mean, most of what we communicate about is still centered around him, but it will just be one-off random texts that we send to laugh at. like he just said this, that sounds like something you would say. And then her response is it's fun to do.
Yeah.
Because no one else understands that like she does.
Exactly.
And I really never thought it would be here, because I didn't want to ever interact with her ever again. Which I mean, I knew was not an option, because that's not how it works when you have kids, but it's really nice. It's nice to have, to have that partnership in a new form.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, Lexton will need something, and obviously she lives close, so it's a little different, but she'll say, well, don't go out and get it. I'll take him out. I'll do that. Don't worry about it. So it is that, like, that support, and it's just tremendously, tremendously helpful.
And I think both of us, both me and John, and probably you and Heather, like, why did we waste that time being so angry or so bitter? Like, we wasted so much time when we could have gotten here. And I guess it just takes time.
Right.
I guess it just takes time.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's, and I've thought about that. Like, it took, I would say, at least a full year before things were not actively bitter.
Yeah.
And we were civil before that, but it took a full year before that really settled. But even then, there was like this underlying kind of uncomfortableness between the two of us. And I've struggled with that. Like, how much time did we waste? Why did it have to be that way? But at the same time, I feel like it's not waste. Like, it's time that had to be spent. Maybe not angry or bitter, but had to be spent apart and not in that, and not as friends, because it just takes time to process through.
Yeah, and learning your new life, learning yes. the new way of life, and yeah, And yeah. learning to let go of so much. To let go.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, to let go and not just like push it away for now, but actually just let it go and acknowledge where you are now.
Right.
And it's hard. And I mean, like you said, there are some people in some situations where that's not an option. Like it won't happen. And it's unfortunate, but sometimes that's how it goes. So we're certainly not saying that everybody should be like this, because it's really not possible for everyone. But it definitely takes time to, I think part of it is just getting in the right headspace to recognize that the relationship that was never will be again, but yes, there's still a relationship there.
Yes.
It's just changed dramatically in some respects and not at all in other respects.
And I think because of the child, because of the children, you have this connection with this person that you don't have with anyone else in the world. And
right.
Knowing the intricacies of their personality and having someone that you can talk to who understands those intricacies and has known them for so long is so valuable. And to be able to call upon their knowledge of it is tremendous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think again, most people probably know this, but I'm not Flexton's natural father, which I think is a fucking awful term, but I came into his life when he was 15 months old. But even without that, like, actual biological shared connection with Heather, it's just a history of his whole life. And no one was there for any of those moments except for her and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there will never be anyone else that can understand that as well as Heather for me or John for you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and he can, like, you know, we were sitting there and he can point and go, oh my gosh, she is so like my sister that way. Or, and I can say the same thing about, you know, one of them. And having that is, I really, really cherish the fact that we have gotten here, I guess, is when all is said and done. Like, I'm so, so happy that we're here. Which leads me back to the fact that he flew out and stayed in our house when we went to London. We went to London for 8 days. It was
and that was recently, so that was like two weeks ago.
Yeah, it was recent, and it was, we went to see A Winged Victory for the Sullen. We saw them both nights in London. We saw them twice. And they played in a chapel built in the early 1800s. It was absolutely fucking phenomenal and life-changing. I mean, and you're going to go see them, right?
I am. They're coming through Chicago and I'm going to go see them and I cannot wait.
So pro tip, everybody, if A Winged Victory for the Sullen is coming through your town, you must find a way to go see them. It doesn't matter where you sit. It doesn't matter if you have to stand at the back. You need to witness this. You have to witness this. So he came and he stayed, and he took Lita driving quite a few times. And, you know, he texted me while I was in London and said, she's getting so much better. We've done some 3-point turns. she's not really into the parallel parking yet, but we're getting there. We went on the freeway. I was really grateful for him doing that. And then, you know, I said to him, you know, there's this band called A Winged Victory for the Sullen, and they're coming through Brooklyn. You should go see them. You have to go see them. So it's like these, like, 4 years ago, I would have never, never done that. Right. And he was like...
And you two shared music interests,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
And he was like, really? I was like, yes, it's a life-changing experience. Like, I've never cried so hard at a concert. You have to go see them when they come through Brooklyn. And he thanked me for that. And it was, London was cold.
Which is the opposite of the experience that I had.
Exactly. London was very, very, very cold. I was not prepared. And Pete can keep a straight face through anything. And he was so cold and he showed on his face, which means it was that cold. So it was hard in the sense that, I mean, London is a beautiful city. I love it. You've been there. I mean, yes. Can't say enough about it, but getting anywhere was, you know, two trains, two buses, walking 20 minutes, and it was bone chillingly cold. And we should have been wearing like snowboarding gear.
And was it rainy? Like, was it a damp cold?
Yes. Well, it wasn't rainy. Okay. It was just coming off the river. I'm sure you're used to it in Chicago. We're not used to it here because it's so dry. I mean, it gets cold, but it doesn't get wet cold. And I had forgotten what wet cold was like. And I just, I mean, I thought I was going to freeze to death a couple of times. It was scary. And a couple of times, both nights that we went to the concert, it was two trains, two buses, and then walking 20 minutes to this chapel, and a football game was going on. Meaning,
oh, that's right.
Thousands and thousands of people were like flooding the trains and buses. So there was a lot of work involved, but it was totally worth it. Absolutely worth it. A little funny anecdote. I got home and I never got over the jet lag when I got there. Like I couldn't sleep a wink the entire way there. And then I couldn't sleep a wink the entire way back. And while I was there, because it was so cold and because the bed was sort of like a springy British bed. I hope they aren't mad at me. It was kind of this old springy British bed. I did not sleep well at all. So the whole time there, I was a little out of sorts. And when I got home, I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lie down. I couldn't walk. I was just like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. And
that weird, like, exhausted restlessness.
Yes. And
is a beast. Is a like
beast.
It's hard to get through.
And I tried to lie down to like get 30 minutes of sleep, and I could not get my body to turn off. And we're gonna go ahead and talk about it. We're gonna talk about my weight really quickly.
Your weight? Has something changed with your weight?
Has something changed with my weight? Disordered eating. The valedictorian of disordered eating is what someone commented on in one of my Instagram photos. I got sick while I was there because it was so cold and because I had not slept for days and days and days. And I got sick and probably lost, I don't know, coming back, probably lost like 5 or 6 pounds at least. Which I should not have lost in the first place. Oh, yeah. And my body like was frail coming home. And I was just begging for the night to come the day that we got home. And I took my medication and I took the sleep tea that I normally take, which I forgot to pack when I went to London.
Oh, you didn't bring it? Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. That sleep tea, by the way, will knock you on your ass. Like, it will knock you on your ass. And
just so everyone knows, this is different than the poop tea. So if you need to shit and sleep, you need to drink two teas.
It's mushrooms. It's all mushrooms. See, it's mushroom based. Because the mushrooms cured my gut issue. And now they're helping me sleep. And I woke up the next morning. Pete let me sleep in because I was so jet lagged, and I slept for oh my God, 13 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And oh, wow. I had to force myself to get out of the bed, because I had not unpacked my bags. And Lita happened to be home that day because, the juniors were taking the ACT, so everybody had to stay at home. And I start unpacking my bags, and I'm standing in the middle of the room looking around at, like, this needs to be dry cleaned, this needs to be washed, this needs to be, like, at the 17 stacks of things. And I'm just like, oh my God, here we go. Okay. And I'm weak because my body is just this frail little bird. I'm this fragile little bird, right? And I'm standing in the
oh, man.
I'm this fragile little bird, and I'm standing in the middle of our bedroom with my back to the door. And I have mentioned this before that I startle easily.
You have, yes.
Uh-huh. And Lita does not have an inside voice. She and many of her friends and many of her cousins have a... their standard voice is about 70 decibels higher than most people screaming.
Oh, God. And
I'm standing there assessing, okay, what do I do first? And she walks into the room and she says, "Hey, Mom!" And I swear to God, like, the visions in my head of, like, somebody breaking in to rape me or murder me, or, like, all these visions of, like, somebody just broke into the house, and I fell to the floor and started sobbing. And she was like, "What? I didn't mean to do that." And I'm like, "It's not your fault. I'm sorry. I'm just really, really fragile right now." And I immediately texted Pete and said, "We are installing a rule where if I am in the bedroom alone and someone needs me, they need to text me before they knock on the door."
Oh, God.
Because the scream that I let out when she did that will probably live in her memory for the rest of her life. I screamed so loud and horrifyingly that she will be like, "I almost killed my mom."
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I startle easily, so I cannot get in the car with her. I can't do it. Not until she's had like a year in her. I'm not doing it. So we're bringing that all full circle where she wants to drive, but I am not the one who is going to get her hours because I'm afraid of dying.
And she's aware of that, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's super, super aware of that. Which is why, like, the do you know about this caffeine gum? I think it's like Vivarin. Like, do you remember taking Vivarin when you were in college?
No.
You never took Vivarin?
No. I mean, it's like it's gum just laced with caffeine.
Yes.
Interesting.
And she takes it because she wakes up so early and she has all this stuff to do. And she's like, "I need to go get some caffeine gum. I'm out of caffeine gum." And I was like, "Well, I can take you." She goes, "Can Pete take me so I can drive?"
Oh, God.
I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure." And Pete was like, "Yeah, absolutely."
Does Pete think she's improved? Because I know it was rocky even by his standards to begin with.
Yeah, he said he actually checked his phone at one point while she was driving, and he wasn't scared.
That's good. That's a significant change.
Yeah. So she's well on her way. I think she'll get her license in 2 weeks. She gets it at school, actually.
Is driver's ed through school?
Yes.
Do you pay for it?
No.
Interesting. No. That's how it was when I did it.
No, you pay for the driving part of it. Like you have to take driving, like you have to go on a course. You have to pay for that part of it. Yeah.
You have to, but that's part of getting your permit, right?
That's part of getting the license. She already has her permit.
Okay, but she did both like a course component and a driving component to get her permit, right?
No.
Really?
To get her permit, she just had to pass a written test. To get the driver's license, she has to take a class like at school and get driving hours in.
Interesting. When I did it, we had like an actual class and you had to pass a test. And the class was a few days, but there was also a driving component where it would be the instructor in the passenger seat and then a student driving and then two other kids in the back. And we would drive and then like park somewhere and switch.
I can't imagine driving with like peers in the car.
Oh yeah.
At that age.
It was a thing.
No way.
But that was all all of that was covered by the school. But then when you actually needed to go take your driver's test to get your license, then that was a cost. Mm-hmm. But now, like when Lexton does it, everything is, I think some of them operate off of school grounds, but everything is a separate cost. Like he will have to pay to do driver's ed to get his permit.
Really?
And by he, I mean I. I will have to pay for him to get his permit. Yeah. Strange.
I know, right? I logged into, it's called myschoolfees.com or something like that, because Lita texted me in London and says, can you pay for the driver's course? Because I can't take it unless you pay for it. And it hasn't been paid for yet. So I log in to the website and there's $400 fucking dollars in fees for dropped classes and switched classes. Oh, and I was like, Lord. What in the world did you do? And she's like, school costs money, Mom.
Oh, God. They charge for that shit now, though?
Yeah, damn. I guess so. I don't know. I mean, that, I don't know. That wasn't a thing when I was growing up. So I...
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny taste of what college will be.
She keeps saying, you know I'm leaving, right? You know I'm leaving. You know I'm leaving. You know I'm leaving.
Does she have any idea where she wants to go?
She wants to go to the East Coast, but she's going to have to take the SAT and she's going to have to take out student loans. Because as much money as I've put away for her, it's not going to cover like a dent in an East Coast school.
Right, out of state East Coast school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, out of state tuition is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Lita. Good luck. Forgot about the SAT. I never took that because I was never looking at the East Coast.
Yeah, I didn't either. Talk about hard.
Yeah. And she's probably going to take the ACT too, right?
Yeah, I think you take both. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, living with a 16-year-old girl. Holy fucking shit, y'all. I mean.
Yep. I mean, I will say that a 16-year-old boy is not exactly a walk in the park. Fucking teenagers are. Oh, it's like a species in itself.
Oh yeah. It is. And I wasn't like this. I keep saying that. She just can unleash a storm of fury about what we, and meaning me, but what we collectively have done to fuck up their possibility in life. And even though, like, I'm doing the best that I possibly can to make sure that she's provided for and safe and warm and whatnot, she sort of focuses in. I don't know whose personality this is. She focuses in on those parts that are like, the climate is doomed. We're all going to die. The virus is taking over. You know, which, by the way, we might want to mention that.
I mean, I think we have to, because you were in the UK kind of before this really started to take traction around the world. And I was actually in Portland at the beginning of February before that was an issue. And now it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah. And that's when I thought my phone was spying on me, because I stayed with a family. I visited with a family in London in 1996 when I was study abroad for BYU. They lived in North London and they had 4 kids, and I have stayed in touch with them, and we saw them 2 years ago in London, and then we saw them twice on this trip. And she is a, Penny is her name, and she is a lead nurse at a hospital and has, like, you know, all these credentials. And she's been talking about how the country there, they have sites already set up. They already had sites set up to deal with any sort of outbreak. Like, and they had supplies and they had people ready to work. And that was the first time I ever heard someone say, just don't touch your face.
Right.
She was, that was the first time I had heard that. And that night I went on Twitter and the first 5 tweets were, you know, when someone tells you you can't touch your face, you don't realize how much you want to touch your face. Like, the first 5 tweets were about that.
Yes.
It was so weird. Yeah.
Well, it's created such an odd environment. And I mean, I know there's people who think it's a hoax, which I don't even have the capacity to get into that right now. But it just comes down to caring about other people, I think. Like, I know my own health well enough to know that if I got it, I'm probably totally fine. I'm not exactly worried that I'm going to die from this. But I know people who are either elderly or immunocompromised that very well could.
Right.
So I don't want to get it and give it to them. And I think that's the piece that so many people are missing. Like, oh, it's really not that bad. It's no worse than the flu, which is another issue entirely. But just think about other people, maybe.
Right. Like, I mean, those are the people that's what the scientists who really understand the science behind this, that's who they're worried about. Like, any sort of, like, pandemic will be okay for the most of the population, but the scientists who understand the science are like, no, we're worried about the elderly. We're worried about anybody going through chemotherapy, anybody who has, you know, an immune disorder. Like, this is, like, those are the people that are most vulnerable.
Right.
And we have to protect them. It's like getting vaccinated, right?
Yes. I mean, even people I was reading with diabetes are at higher risk. So I think at one point I read something like 98% of the population will fight it off. Like, it might suck, but it's fine. But if you calculate that out, that means that like 18 to 20 million people will not. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who are important to a lot of people.
Right. And I mean, except for not touching your face, which is one of those things where as soon as you hear it, all you want to do is like put your entire hand on your face.
But, I just want to like smother my face right. in my hand.
But except for that, I mean, it's wash your hands and don't touch your face, which is basically mm-hmm. like washing your hands. Don't be a gross person. Just wash your fuck. And I see like right after it started to come to the United States, there were a bunch of men on Twitter kind of making jokes. Like, it's funny. There's actually a line for the men's room now because people are washing their hands. I'm like, who fucking doesn't wash their hands? Like right? that's why is that? And it's not like I didn't know that. I see guys walk in and walk out without washing their hands, or they just rinse the tips of their fingers off. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to do, but it's weird to me. And then yeah. you have like places in the United States basically saying like, ah, okay, well, I guess we'll clean some public spaces if this is a problem, because we live in a place where we don't really clean the public spaces. We just let them be.
So I had to run and go get batteries in order for my podcasting equipment to work.
Right.
But before I ran to get batteries, I was opening all this mail that had come when I was gone. And I just had Twitter open and was just scrolling through. Harvard, did you see this? Not only have they called off Coachella or postponed it until October.
Oh, Harvard is going like all online or something?
Yes. They told them not to come back after spring break. Not to come back to the dorms.
Yep.
And so Coachella has been postponed until October. One of the school districts here in Utah has basically said they're going to cancel all school if they get one case. Yes. Which means like, yeah.
Which I think is probably the case in every district. They just haven't said that. That's my guess. Because you figure if you yeah. have a high schooler who comes down with it, odds of them having younger siblings
right.
are high. Odds of other students in the school. Like, it's, that's what's kind of ridiculous, is even if you think it's blown out of proportion, you have to think about what can happen as a result of what's going on.
Right.
I mean, well, South by Southwest was canceled.
Yeah.
And that's huge. So there's economic impact to the city of Austin. There's all the people who were going to go there in hopes of getting business or having business there that don't get it. I mean, I work from home. I rarely interact with people, and I have a major project that's indefinitely postponed because of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's significant whether you believe in it or not. Like, it just is.
Well, my mother turned 75 this year. And she said that she didn't even realize, she booked a trip to Kentucky to go back home to see her brothers and sisters, like the day, like on Easter or the day after Easter, which is like 2 days after her birthday. And she's like, you know, Heather, I'm as healthy as I have ever been in my life, but I'm 75. Like, right. I can't take this risk. And airlines are losing business. Hotels are losing business. The movie industry is tanking. The stock market. Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's massive. I mean, we were texting just yesterday, like this is becoming the year of the concerts for me, and I have concerts coming up over the next couple months. And I've even started to wonder if those are going to happen.
Yeah. I'm supposed to speak in Canada in 2 weeks. And I'm supposed to speak in Canada 4 or 5 times this year, if not more than that. And I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Like, will the flight still be available? Will the conference or the seminar, whatever the event is that you're going to, are they going to hold it?
Right. Are they going to hold it? Are they going to cancel it? Are they going to hold it? I don't know.
And that's what's like, some places I feel like there's obviously a lot of pressure to cancel, just for obvious reasons. But then there's also a lot of pressure to keep it going because people depend on these events. Like, it's not just like canceling a birthday party. Like, it's significant to a lot of people.
It's the paycheck.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm scared to death because I was really, really, really counting I am really counting on these speaking engagements. Like, it was a huge, like, when they came to me about it, I was just so elated because I had gotten some bad news at the end of last year before Coco died.
Right.
By the way, my dog died. You know what? I'm doing so much better.
I can hear it. I'm doing better. Yeah. I could even tell as we've been texting over the last couple of weeks.
I'm doing better. I had a breakthrough, and that was through meditation, which we could do a whole episode about that, but I started meditating and
if Heather B. Armstrong is meditating, we will be doing an episode on that.
I mean, I can fucking meditate. We actually meditated yesterday morning for 10 minutes. And when the timer went off, I was like, what the fuck? It was like, that was like 30 seconds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is significant because if you're not used to sitting, essentially sitting completely still and quiet for 10 minutes, it seems like a long time.
Right. And I had gone into this state. Man, God, the visions that I have sometimes are just, I have to start journaling them because they're so significant and meaningful. And yeah, I had no idea that it would do this. It's been life changing. And I think because of that, I have been able to sort of channel the grief over Coco, and understand it. And understand what it means and what she's trying to tell me with it. So.
That's a huge step.
It is a huge step. And, you know, today's the 10th. She died 2 months ago today.
2 months ago today? Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. And not only that, we started walking again because my feet are okay, sort of. I did a really intense hot yoga class and I shouldn't have done it. Although I did modify every single pose. It was a lot to do after 18 months of not exercising.
I warned you against that hot yoga shit.
I know. We were walking last night and, you know, it was the first night that we walked. So it was 2 nights ago. And I was like, we're going to leave the house and we're not going to have that little nugget with us. Cause she always went on our walks together. We would go on a walk every night.
Right.
And we're not going to have her with us. And I had a little moment. I have these little moments here and there, right? Nothing like that first month. And on our walk, we passed is it a Burmese mountain dog?
You know what? I was going to say Bernese, but honestly don't know.
Yeah, maybe Bernese.
Okay. I'm going to look it up.
I should know this.
I feel like Burmese makes more sense because that's like Burma, right?
Well, I know there's Great Pyrenees, right?
Right. Oh, it is Bernese with an N. I was right.
Bernese. Okay. So there was a woman walking a Bernese who was 9 months old and as big as a fucking pony.
Oh, yeah.
And so funny because he had his leash in his mouth.
Oh God.
Dogs do that sort of to be like, you think you're in charge, but I still have my leash in my mouth.
Right.
Dudley was his name.
Dudley?
Dudley.
Oh man.
And when you look up these dogs, he had the exact coloring of Coco.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
Exact. Like, he had the eyebrows, he had the white stripe, like, he had the exact coloring. And she told us about how she had lost her other Bernese dog, and she's like, I'm never doing this again. I can't do it. There's no possible way I'll ever get over this. And she's like, and then this guy came into my life, and I can't believe it. He's wonderful. He's amazing. I love him just as much as I loved her, and he's even better. Well, he's better behaved, and she just went on and on, and I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
So is this sort of your sly way of saying that you're considering?
Lightly? you know, I don't believe in this shit, right? I don't believe in this shit. I don't believe in I don't know, but we keep encountering golden retrievers. In one way or another, we keep encountering them in special ways. And they keep popping up everywhere. And it's like, is she trying to tell me something?
I mean, things happen for a reason.
Yeah. Not yet. Not yet.
It's funny that you saw a Bernese puppy, though, because I ran into one probably a month ago, and his name was Henry. And he was maybe like 6 or 7 months old. But again, like you said, just massive, like the size of a large, fully grown dog. But it's weird because Lily is still less than 11 pounds. So she is a petite cat. And to see a dog that's like 6 or 8 months old, that is the size of an adult dog, that behaves just like a floppy little doofus.
Yes.
It's so weird because you expect them to not be that way. And he was, that's exactly how he was.
Oh my God. We have to link to this tweet. I have to send you the tweet. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Prime Minister of Ireland went to an official event.
Oh God, I just watched that yesterday.
Did you see it? Oh yeah. My God. Where the dog walks in and tries to find him. And when the dog finds him, the dog lies down and is like, give me a belly rub.
Right.
And the Prime Minister's like, okay. And the dog's like, we're not done.
Right.
We're not done. And like turns even more toward him on his back.
But it was great because the dog totally like just wove through the room looking for him. And then you could see in its entire body when it found him.
Yes.
But the whole, like everything about it, the his reaction, the dog's reaction, everybody in the room, like it was, we do need to link to that.
We do. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful connection that we have with our animals. And I'm so glad that I can say that now without crying.
Right.
Like, I'm okay now. I've been sleeping, so that helps.
Shroom tea. That's where it's at.
Very legal shroom tea.
Yes, very, very legal. You can you can buy it. I've recommended it to a friend of mine who was having trouble sleeping, so.
Oh, I hope it worked.
It did, actually.
Me on my ass. Like, it knocks me out.
He was skeptical because apparently it is not the most delicious thing. He made it and sent me a text and he's like, can you please ask her how she drinks this shit?
Because I slam it.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I'm like, you're probably better off just getting it over with.
Yeah.
But he powered through and it's actually seemed to help at least somewhat. I don't think it's been like a light switch, but.
Oh, and the other thing that you brought into my life, and I think it's also a factor of getting older, I really like getting up earlier in the morning.
Holy shit. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a morning person?
I got up like at 5 o'clock this morning. Like I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get this and this and this and this and this and this done. And I love it. I love it.
It's amazing, isn't it? I told you.
It's amazing. And I talked to my mom about this, and she's like, yes, as you get older, you start to, she's like, at least I found that getting up earlier was easier and so satisfying.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's satisfying. And I think the kind of energy, at least for me, the kind of energy that I have in the morning is so different than any energy that I have at night.
Yes.
And I think that's what it is. It's like at night will come around and I might have energy, but I can justify not using that energy on these different things. But in the morning, I'm just up and ready to go and conquer the world.
Like, yes.
Everything gets done. I'm so happy you've arrived there.
You recommended that book. And we should probably link to it. And I'm going to read it because I'm sure it has a lot of insight into what I'm feeling about it. But like, I get excited now when I get up that early because it's like, oh my, holy shit, what I can get done in the next hour and a half by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. And that has brought me a lot of happiness. Who knew?
I can't believe you're a morning person. Like, we've talked about this lots of times, and you were always like, oh, fuck no.
4 years later, I'm best friends with John Armstrong, and I'm meditating, and I'm getting up at like 5 o'clock. What the fuck?
2020, it's a hell of a year. Which then probably makes sense that we are picking 2020 to kind of re-jumpstart this whole MRS business.
Re-jumpstart, I think, is the right word. We didn't want to give up on this. We didn't want to give up on you. And we didn't want to give up on the community of stories. And I think that I am missing the early days of blogging where I could find a community of people who were raising children the same age as my own. And finding others who have experience with volatile 16-year-old girls. I would love to be reading more about it and hearing more about it. And hopefully we can give you some insight into teenage boys and teenage girls and do it in, you know, the most profane way possible.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think cutting down, I guess it was back in November, cutting down to one episode a month, I think honestly that was sort of what helped us get in this headspace to focus on how we want Manic Rambling Spiral to look going forward.
Yes.
And what it will take to get it there.
Yes.
So, and I think based on how everything is going, because like you mentioned, we've already really started things here, we're probably looking at April-ish timeframe to kind of relaunch and share details about what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
So in a month, so almost on our 4-year anniversary.
Yeah, we're going to start with 2 episodes a month and then hopefully go from there. We can increase it and, you know, share with you more details about the other little things going on. So, yes.
So 2 episodes a month, and then that's not all. So we're really
sneak
excited.
Sneak peek. We're going to have Lance Armstrong as a guest.
Yes, we are. You're going to love it, Lance. Just wait.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Sneak peek.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to, I think. And it was sort of like riding the wave of 2020. Riding the wave.
Yes. Might as well, right?
Yes.
But as always, we would love to hear from all of you, whether it's, you know, sharing our thoughts on the coronavirus or teens, or you just want to comment on maybe a relationship with an ex and how that has been beneficial, even though maybe it never seemed possible. You can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings to share us those stories or share with us those stories or whatever. Or you can email us to stories@manicramblings.com.
Yes, and until next time, try not to touch your face and just think about that for a second and see how long you can go without touching your face. Just don't touch it. Just don't touch it. I know your nose itches.
Oh, I know
your
really
hair
itches.
Is hanging in your, I know your hair is hanging in your face. Don't touch it. I'm so paranoid in my car. Like if I'm like scratching my head, someone's gonna look over and go, "She's touching her face."
Oh, come on.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hold up. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.